Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 547 with the Sefer Bahava Saleh by Rabbi Moshe Hershkowitz in a chapter called Too Close for Comfort When Partners Flee from Emotional Connection. And when we first start to fall in love, when we feel initially safe in the beginning of the relationship, very often it's because we finally believe that we found someone that we could open up to, that we could share our emotional issues with and heal each other thereby. And the problems arise when that little child in us has that unrealistic expectation that our spouse will be available for us totally and completely for healing as we open up and try to heal. And many couples report that the closer that they get to each other, the closer that they got, the more they were fighting. Why does that happen sometimes? It happens typically because a person's spouse does not yet possess those emotional tools or sort of treatment approach to heal their partner's wounds. How could they? They're not psychologists, they're not psychiatrists, they're not therapists, they're not healers. And we only have the knowledge from what we observed ourselves at home, from our own parents and from our own background. So what is expected of them? What are we to do? If in the childhood years it was not seen those six love languages between the parents, the TLC, the thinking, listening, and caring, and the RSP, the respect, support, and praise, then if you don't have those memories, if you don't have that strong within you, you'll revert to what you did in childhood often. And very often what a lot of people did in childhood is they disconnected. As far as disconnection, research shows that men are more likely to stonewall than women do. Could be it's biological. Men seem to be more physiologically overwhelmed than women by marital tension. So it's like if there's a confrontation in marriage, the man's pulse rate will likely rise, his blood pressure will rise. He may feel an instinctive need to run away from conflict with their spouse in order to protect their health. It's like sort of an automatic response. Their stress circuits become overwhelmed when they don't feel safe in a marriage, and they tend to withdraw socially under stress. Women, it's the opposite usually. They seek emotional support. While most men will distance themselves or often shut down emotionally, women, on the contrary, they're relational beings. They're more resilient. When they don't feel safe in a relationship, they're able to maintain their stress levels more effectively than men, generally speaking. They try to communicate. They try to pursue and resolve issues with their husbands. And they will engage with what we call a pursue a distance stance. That happens often, where the more the husband distances himself, the more the wife will pursue. And this is what it meant that we mentioned beforehand, that when the closer a couple is, the more they will fight. Because these adults are basically emotionally trapped and angry because of the walls they constructed, and it's not working for them, and they don't know how to cope. And what happens, unfortunately, is they end up pushing away or hurting the very people who they're trying to connect with the most, which is their own wife. And this causes intense pain, and it's a very difficult thing to do. And there's a triggers there and needs to start healing. He brings a graph. We're not going to get into it now. Like I said, please, purchase the book. It has a lot of good things in it, and a lot of gems. So, to be messiah, this particular part of the chapter here about this is that in his experience and other people's experiences as well, as I know, people come. Often a couple, and sometimes they have this sinking feeling in them, let's cut our losses, let's get divorced. And In the vast majority of cases, that's not the best solution. It's more to learn how to love your husband and wife, how to be loved, how to connect, how to understand, to reprogram. And he says a great line here. If a brain had formerly been programmed to disconnect, it could be reprogrammed to connect. Hashem created it that way. We could heal. We could change. We have bechira. We have the ability to work through things. And we're able to develop the healthy love skills. Love provides an emotional safety. So that when you put the walls that you put up to protect yourself, when they come down, it won't, you know, you'll know how to deal with it. So this is a very important insight. You know, for many people, the love equals the pain, and they start fighting, and their pain and their old emotional wounds come up to the surface. And what they're unconsciously looking for is it's a cry for help. They want their spouse to heal them, but they have to learn how to heal themselves as well. Now, he has a couple of exercises here. One of them is when each spouse has like these baggages here, whatever, on a piece of paper, and they air their concerns, and they take steps towards acknowledging the emotions that were clogging their cables of connection, and they start working towards receiving that and giving that TLC and RSP respectively. Then he has in chapter 10, it's called Reprogramming for Closeness. And he goes through the process of the brain. Again, in romantic love, everyone sees everything with rose-colored glasses. And then when this disillusionment begins, that love wanes, you know, the chemical reaction of that. Then triggers come out from childhood and people, spouses, one or the other one, they become overwhelmed and vulnerable and they feel helpless, and old feelings of being unsafe starts resurfacing and they feel more fragile. And a lot of this, he goes through the brain functionality, which we're not going to get into now, of the brain. The amygdala in particular is the fight or flight response. When we feel threatened, then we have to learn how to regulate that. And he goes through that brain functionality, which is a very fascinating and important concept here, and to bring it down in a practical way. So he brings a case where there was a newly married couple, but they were both in their second marriage, and they were afraid that they would get divorced. You know, it wasn't going well. And it was determined that the husband, his name was Michael, he had a childhood trauma. And under hypnosis, he recalled an event that he had totally forgotten. That when he was 9 years old, his father gave him a note to deliver to a teacher. And being successful and proud of himself, Michael handed the note to his teacher. He was 9 years old. His teacher, for some unexplained reason, took off his belt and began gave him a beating that he would never forget. At that moment, he felt helpless, started to cry. He was trapped in a situation where he couldn't fight or flee. He had to submit to the senseless cruelty. Years passed by, and he was traumatized by this event, but he, quote-unquote, forgot about it. Then he grew up, got married, and he began to fight with his wife. And his unconscious brain, like, reminded him, you trusted your father, who you love very much, and look what happened. How could I trust someone who loves you? My wife loves me, but you see what it's a danger. In other words, they equate in his brain, he equated that love and trust equals hurt and betrayal. And he transferred those thoughts into his relationship with his wife, which had nothing to do with this. So this is like these childhood wounds. And the unconscious mind does begin to heal. And you can work through these things. He has another tool called an awareness wheel, which I have to really study more before going into this. So I'm going to leave it be, but it's kedai to look through. And then he has a chapter on exploring anger. How do you deal with anger? A lot of anger comes from triggers that feeling unsafe or feeling in danger. And one of the reactions of that is to react in anger. There's a fight or flight response. That's more like the fightus response. And he goes through different types of anger and how destructive it is and how to go and fight against that. It comes in many different forms and many different styles. There's one of those styles that's a really unhealthy style. It's called passive aggressiveness. You don't express anger directly, but you engage in behavior that will upset the other person, like withholding praise, withholding attention, withholding affection, withholding conversations, not following through with promises or holding back physical intimacy, passive aggressive. There's sarcasm, making these mocking remarks, embarrassing, humiliating, publicly even, disapproving in the tone of voice. Then there's cold anger, which is an avoidance to those closest to them. They refuse to discuss emotional issues. They refuse to connect. And there's some that are visibly hostile, visibly upset, visibly frustrated. And then there's outright aggression, the shouting, the yelling, the name calling. So all of these obviously are negative communication styles. And it's very important to do everything we can to fight this and not fall into this trap. The way people communicate in their anger often is criticism. Criticism is when you attack the person's personality and behaviors. You were late again. I can't trust you to do anything right. You never listen. You're just like your father. You're both the same. You never forgot. You forgot to call again. You're like a baby. You can't follow directions and you're irresponsible. That's criticism. Then comes contempt, like a disdain, to make your husband or wife feel small. You lock your keys in the car. Only you could do something like that. Your checks bounced again. You'll never change. It's the story of our lives. How much did you spend? You're in your own world. You don't know what you're doing. Like a contempt. And when you're attacked that way, your spouse may counterattack or shut down. So either they'll be defensive if they shut down, or they'll try to defend themselves. Well, something's late, but you're never on time, you know? Or they'll stonewall. They'll be overwhelmed by their spouse's attack, and they just simply stop responding, even defensively, and they shut down. And of course, these communication styles aren't helpful. It just escalates the conflict or creates a cold war between the two. And the truth is that most of us never learned how to handle conflict effectively. This is part of the Midas training that we need to be trained somehow in a formal way, all through life in the chinuch of children, but in particularly in high schools, even in Beis Medrash, seminaries. You know, I'm just going to be messiah with this point that the Masilas Yesharim says. He says all the way in the beginning that people, that because of things that are so well known, people neglect. That's really what it is. We all know this intrinsically. And we don't want to learn it because, I know it. This is babyish, you know. We know all this already. But we don't. We don't in a real way. We never learn to internalize it. And this is why in these formative years, to learn and internalize good midos, good character, and life skills is crucially important. Bracha v'atzlacha.